Number 17 of the 48 ways is Bemiut Derech Eretz. Bemiut means to minimize. Minimize, it's got the positive aspect, you got to have some. There's the negative. The negative is too much will wipe you out. And there's the positive negative. By reducing it, you are in control. Minimize Derech Eretz. Now, what is Derech Eretz? The words literally mean Derech, the way, Eretz of the land. So the rabbis use the way of the land in reference to three things. One is business, a livelihood. That's the way of the land. A human being's got to support himself. In this case, they cannot mean this because we just had Bemiut Schora, a little business. The Acheretz, they referred to the way of the land, social amenities, being able to deal with people. They don't mean it here because we have quite a list of the 48 ways it has to do. You got to love your fellow man. You got to be beloved. You got to help him. You got to stand him up on truth. There's a whole lot of them have to do with dealing with other human beings, discussion, have friends, etc., etc. So they can't mean that. So what's left is the third thing that they use their cheretz, the way of the land, and that is sex. Guys who came in the first time, it came the right time, minimize sex. You ready to leave? Not yet. Wait, see, there's a positive aspect here. Don't go yet, right? But the idea is, everybody knows sex is a powerful drive. It's the greatest physical drive that a human being has, aside from simple survival. You got to harness that power. At the same time, we all know the negative, that sex, especially for you young men, you know that it can drive you batty. Yeah? Well, you can waste an awful lot of time on it, right? Watch out. Don't let it get you. And the positive negative, you don't understand too much about, but that is, you got to be in control of it. You got to know how to use it. So we'll discuss all three, but we'll put the emphasis on the positive. So relax. We'll put the emphasis on the positive. How to use sex. Now, I think a lot of you guys are going to be skeptical that in the yeshiva you're going to learn how to use sex, yeah? What do you guys know, right? Yeah? We know all about it. The Almighty came and taught us all that there is to know. We, who are brought up in the Jewish tradition, you know, hands off. You know the Jewish tradition. That's one of the things that controls us from coming too often, right? We say, you poor secular guys, you deprived. You'll never know what it's about. So let me focus your attention. Now, if a pretty young lady should come to you and say, you know, I hear that you fellas are studying 48 ways to wisdom. I can't make it to the class, but I'd love to understand those ways of using my potential. Would you mind teaching me? Do you see that thing? Pretty young thing, right? What do you say, Michael? You'll have a pen and pencil? You won't be sitting there. You'll say, wait, get me a pen and pencil. Don't say anything, Rabbi. I want to get every word. Right? Yeah? Now, can you just imagine that this pretty young thing, this sweet girl, is the only woman in the world? Wow. Huh? The only one, the whole magic of femininity, right? Oh, boy. Huh? I mean, you won't even need a pen and pencil, right? You say, go ahead, Rabbi. I'm on. Yeah? Mind boggling. Did you ever have a semblance of the only woman in the world? Yeah, a semblance. It's not the same thing. But you had a semblance. You remember the first girl that you, you remember? Huh? Oh, boy, huh? What magic, huh? First girl that you got involved with, Michael, do you remember? Magic, it's just magic, yeah. Tell me, friend, don't you really think that magic should be reserved for your wife? Preserved for your wife? If you could marry the only woman in the world, do you understand what your life would be? If you're a secularist, you understand, no matter who you marry, she might be beautiful, gorgeous, but she either has black hair, red hair, or blonde hair, right? She can't have all three. I mean, that would be a little scary, right? So no matter what you marry, you're thinking, well, Joy, she was a blondie. And that one was petite, and this one was, right? So you're always looking the other side. You don't have the only woman in the world. You got a problem. And let me tell you, when you have a problem, your wife is going to have a problem. You get it? So if your toast is burnt, you just figure out where were your eyes. That's no way. The only woman in the world, that's the one you should marry. If you learn how, you can do it. That's the power we're talking about using. How do we use it? So number one of how to use it is, look, get married. Otherwise, nix. You girls, you can be very safe with an honest Jewish boy. Without marriage, nix. Yeah? Now, it's hard to accept, but listen, you want to know how to make that marriage what it can be, yeah? Yeah, it's not so bad. Without marriage, nix. Number two is that before you get married, you should definitely know what marriage is about. You should have a definition. What do you say? What is marriage? Is it a contract between two parties? Anybody vote for that? Marriage is a contract? You sign an agreement? Can you imagine signing an agreement for the rest of your life? Do you know what the first thing you think about is? What did I do? That's the first thing. The second is any loopholes, right? And the third thing is the party, the second part, better keep every one of their obligations, right? Otherwise, that's three good reasons to break up the marriage. Yeah? All right, now, why in the world should you make this agreement for the rest of your life? What are you getting? Legalized sex? No. Companionship. So you're signing up the rest of your life for companionship. What's the matter? You don't know how to get companionship? If you want to sign a contract for the rest of your life, you know, obligations. An agreement. Well, an agreement for the rest of your life so that you can have companionship? The other half. It says you're not looking necessarily for companionship. You don't sign up for companionship. You're looking for a partner. No, you don't. You don't want a partner, especially not if you're making good money. You don't want a partner, right? What you want is the other half. Okay, so let's get that clear. It's not companionship. It's not legalized sex. It's not a housekeeper, right? And it's not a contract. It's the other half. Yeah? Okay, so number three is, what do we mean by the other half? Marriage is the other half. What does that mean? You need it for living. The Pasuk, the Torah says right there in Bereshit, when woman and man and women were created, that the Almighty said it is not good for a man to be alone. Lo tov heyosa odom levadoi, e'ese lo eza kenegdo, ve'yiyu lebosor echot. They will be one flesh, one human being. It's the other half. A man and a wife is not a partnership, it's not a companionship, it's a oneness. It's a spiritual bond. Yeah? It's a uniting. Now let me focus your attention that even the secularism, a Jewish boy marries a Catholic girl, yeah? So they want a rabbi and a priest to officiate at the ceremony. They want a double hex. Yeah? Now in both religions, it's a blasphemy. In Jewish religion and in Catholic religion, they both say no, no, no. But they hire a turncoat rabbi and a turncoat priest. Yeah. They give him enough money that he overcomes his no, no, no. And he says, blessed is this marriage. Bong. Now you are man and wife. Right? And even the secularist who is against religion, so what does he do? You know, a secularist who's an atheist. He proclaims himself an atheist. So what does he do? He says, honey, we're going to get married. Okay, we're going to get married. We are married now. Something wrong with that. You don't just say, we're married now. Let's shake on it. No. You know what? Let's get a justice of the peace. And the justice of the peace, he says, do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? Yes, I do. Do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband? Yes, I do. I now pronounce you man and wife. The force has put you together. And do you see that? It's deep in the instincts of a human being that there is a bond. It's some way that we become one. All right, if you see that, then what does it mean, one? In Jewish concept, one is for eternity. Even if you divorce your wife, you can divorce your wife, yeah? But it's still yours for eternity. What do you mean?
Well, if you divorce your wife, you're unmarried, you can marry someone else.
That's right. Can you divorce your children?
Yeah. Yeah. You can, under circumstances, you can say, goodbye, I don't want to see you anymore, and you'll never see your son. The rest of your life, you'll never see your son. But, man, that ain't an easy thing to do, and it doesn't really matter. He's your son forever.
So in Judaism, we say the same thing goes. You marry a woman, she's you forever.
Yeah, it can be dissolved, right?
But it's a wrench. It's murder. That's what the Jewish concept is. It's possible. Before you do, before you get rid of a kid or your wife, man, you stand on your head. You find out how to make it work. Make sense? All right, so number four is, what is a wife? It's part of you, right? It's your second half. But what is a wife? Part of you means in the same way that your child is part of you. You marry a woman, that's it. She's part of you. That holy bond makes a part of you for eternity. You're not alone anymore. That's the purpose of marriage. You're whole, the second half. Now, how do you choose a wife? Not romance, not infatuation. That's silly. This is for eternity. Well, how would you choose a kid? Now, you know that any kid that you're going to have, you're going to love. You're going to love your kids? Yeah, you don't know what you're going to get. Maybe it'll be a blonde little girl. Maybe it'll be a redhead. Maybe it'll be a funny thing. Yeah, you love her. Yeah, you have confidence. You have the same confidence. You marry a woman, you love her. What do you mean? You love her. That's you. We are capable of loving every human being. Your wife, that's your first obligation to love. But you want to choose. So how should you choose? Choose for long wear. Which one of these guys would you choose to be your son? Look around. You're going to choose the best looking one. Choose the one who's got the most vitality. I mean, if you see that you're going to evaluate somebody that has potential, somebody that has a decency, somebody that has strength, somebody who's a good human being. More potential, fine. That's the way you choose your wife. It's not for romance. Romance, you know how to break up a beautiful romance? They've been cooing and mooing like doves for the last 5 years. What do you do? A beautiful romance. What?
Marriage.
Get married. Get married. In 2 weeks, they're throwing things at each other. You know, they're getting along famously. Yeah. But right after they're married, all of a sudden, there comes the contract. You didn't prepare supper. You didn't come home on time. Well, where'd you do with the money? What? Boom. Escalation. You break up a beautiful love affair. Well, the idea is, friend, romance is not good for marriage. What do? You pick someone that is going to be part of you forever. Like you pick a child. If you could. Yeah? And then you love them. Whether or not they come up to your expectations, they don't come up to your expectations. You plan to have a beautiful, handsome, strong, young child that will grow and never have any problems and always behave and... Right? Is that what we hope it will be, our fortunate lot? Yeah? Well, you'll find out. So what? So you'll love him anyway. Yeah?
Is there anything wrong with having that romance?
Is there anything wrong with having the romance? The problem of having the romance, Richard, is that you don't see the real qualities. You see, if a fella comes over to you and he says, boy, I met this girl, she is perfect. She is just gorgeous and intelligent and accomplished and smart and idealistic and kind and sweet and she's just, then you know what happened. He fell in love, right? Love is blind. Love is not blind. Love has got a magnifying glass for faults. Tell me, who loves you most in this world, Brian? Who sees your faults greater than anybody else in this world, Brian? Brian says, My parents love me most. My parents see my faults. Great. Technicolor. Terry, your parents, they love you most in this world? Now,
when you do something wrong, who sees it in technicolor? You know, exaggerated, right? Huh? Your parents. So love is not blind. Love has got a magnifying glass. Because if you love someone, you want him to be great. You want him to be perfect. Yeah? So how come in America they say love is blind? You know what's blind? Infatuation is blind. Romance is blind. Now, you don't want to get married blind on a blind date. Right? I mean, you want to get to know the girl first, yeah? Watch out for romance. Once you propose, then fall in love. Enjoy yourself. You got the only girl in the world. Right? We'll help you, you know. Once you propose. Right? Okay, so how do you choose? You choose with what will make you hold the best human being that you can find of the other sex. Number five is, now that we understand what this is about, now we understand, what is sex really? It ties it together as a realization of the longing. We want to be one. The girl's tinkling laughter in a spring evening is a longing. It's the we need that other part of us. And sex facilitates it. It makes us one with a big one. And children make us one in a big one. That's what sex is about. Now we can appreciate why it's degrading. And everybody knows that sex for a dollar bill is degrading. Is that right? Even a sailor knows that. Yeah? To pay a woman to have sex, it's degrading for the man and for the woman. Right? Why? It's an appetite like every other. No, it's not an appetite like every other appetite. It's reserved for the purpose of making oneness. It's got to be with love or it's nothing. For that bond, for that eternity. Number six is, now with this understanding, you got to get married. The real stuff you learn after marriage. And remember to use it. But today, what you got to do is use that computer-programmed wisdom that's within you and try to figure out how to use the power of sex in the best possible, powerful way that you can. So how do we do it? So number seven is, A, the Torah teaches us in Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, which is a love song. And in Judaism, we say that all of the songs are holy because music is holy. Because poetry is holy. Oz Yoshia b'nei Yisrael, the Jewish people sang at the Red Sea, holy. Hazino HaShemayim is holy. There's many songs in the Torah. All the songs are holy. They bring a person into juxtaposition with the Almighty. That's what music does. But the Song of Songs, that's the Holy of Holies. And the Song of Songs is simply a love song of a man to his woman, and a woman to her man. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. I am for my beloved. My beloved is for me. Is a line from the Song of Songs. Yeah. Now, what does that do? So, in Jewish consciousness, and here in Kiryat Sanz, I mean, in Jerusalem, you can still come across it. Friday afternoon, before nightfall, a man will bring together young children. 10 years old, 8 years old, 11 years old, before Bar Mitzvah. And he gives them candies, and he gives them cake, and he gives them goodies. And they sit there before Shabbat in Shul, and they sing the whole Song of Songs together. You get this? This love song. Now, why do we do it before Shabbat? Because Sabbath is when you're supposed to be able to get close. It's the holy day. You can get close to the attaining your longing. But you gotta know it's there. You gotta know it's within you. In Judaism, it's straight focused that the basic point of sex, the essence of sex, is the essence of the ascetic experience. Man's longing for God. God's longing for man. I am for my beloved, my beloved is for me. It's important that you see it. It's one of the things that's driving you, that's very deep, and you should know it. It'll give your sex meaning. Fine, that's A.
B of this is that the rabbis say anybody who doesn't have a wife, he is living. Believe Toiv, believe Torah, believe Bracha. He is living without good, without wisdom, without blessing. Now, we had a businessman here yesterday, but I don't know whether you people realize that anybody who's in business doesn't really hire an unattached male for a responsible position. He's got to be a genius to get the job. For a responsible position, they want a married man. There's something flighty about a bachelor. Got a fly up his nose, the old saying. Yeah? Talk to some businessmen, they'll tell you. Yeah? But you fellas, do you realize that until you're married, a car, an apartment, a house, doesn't really mean much to you? You don't have blessings. You don't appreciate what you have until you're married. Then it's ours. It sort of becomes heavy. Wisdom is in the same category. You understand something? Not until you're married. Then wisdom, awareness, becomes heavy. It becomes real. Life is real. See if this is, all our lives, the Almighty created us in a way that we're born alone and we die alone. The existential loneliness of man. In Judaism we say that's the way the Almighty created. He designed it on purpose. The purpose of it is that every man in this world knows the buck stops here. It's my world. That's the purpose. But the fact is that it hurts to be alone. We say that a man does not die except to his wife. A woman does not die except to her husband. Meaning even death, even people that you love, a child, a father, a brother, that you're close to, a friend, terrible, painful, your life is essentially exactly the same. Just you're hurt. He was alone, you were alone, cut off, hurt, terrible, hurt, but you're exactly the same. A wife, your life is demolished. A man for a woman, a husband, her life, she has to reconstruct the whole existence. We are touching each other with a husband and wife. We're out of me into we in a real sense. My friend, that's just an approximation. With God, you're never alone. Completely fulfilled. Full communication, full understanding, full being. Number eight is I just want to take it a step further and tell you, you want a happy marriage, really a powerful marriage, use Torah wisdom to relate to your wife. Use your wife to relate to Torah wisdom. Walk with God in the middle. Understand what's your attraction, what do you want from your wife? What is it that she is embodying to you? The pleasure of giving your wife pleasure is a way of you knowing God. Of God creating us to give us pleasure. But that gives the relationship, you know, power in every way. Very powerful. Number nine is that, look, until we get up to the Torah and until we learn all these highfalutin things, yeah, what can we learn day to day from our experience in sex? So that's where we started with. A pretty girl says to you, please, would you mind taking notes? I'd like to hear the proofs of God. Attention, notes, interesting, even such a boring subject or upsetting subject like God spoke on Sinai or how do you know, yeah? I want to get it all down clear, yeah? No, you have this power, use it, of coming all attention. Okay, B of this is that, look, any one of us knows, you know, you're angry. Can you overcome anger? One of the passions that human beings find blind is anger, right? Imagine you just got a new Porsche and you're taking it out for the first spin. You're not going to take it through the streets of New York. You're going out to the thruway. The last light before you get to the thruway is a red light. Okay, a car comes behind you and bunks you. That irritating? What do you say? You're irritated? Irritate, yeah? All right, he backs up, and he bumps you again. Yeah? You're smoking, right? He backs up, and he bumps you a third time. That's it? You're going to pulverize this guy. I mean, you lose your blind rage. You walk out, you open up that door, and there's that sweet, pretty girl. Say, pardon me, can I teach you how to drive? Maybe you want some lessons. Yeah? What happened to the rage? You know, you're going to, big deal. A little bunk. It was a pleasure being bunked by you. Can you overcome somebody who's being obnoxious? Your girl says, look, treat him nice. He's a miscane. You know what a miscane is? An unfortunate. He's got this arrogance. Treat him nice. Oh, yes, honey. Sure, how you doing, friend? Yeah? Right? And it's not even your girlfriend. It's not even just that the pretty girl's asking you. Yeah? No problem. Okay. So if you're going to do something that you feel that you should do, turn it on. As if the girl is watching. You have it. It's a switch. You've got to realize it's a switch we got. Just carry around your favorite pretty girl and do whatever you got to do with charm, with verve, intelligence, and pleasure. Make sense? We have that power. Use it. All right, number 10 is that sex in marriage, what do we learn from marriage? And even without marriage, we can focus ourselves in. You realize that a man and a woman who are married, everything that they have is ours. It's we. It's our car, it's our home, it's our pool, it's our children, right? It's never mine. Not if you have any concept of marriage. Well, what does that mean for living? You're not alone. You want others. Judaism, we say it's with God. So what is the difference?
Well, our home, our child, we don't treat it as if I'll sell our home. You know, talk it over. You don't buy your house when you're married. Don't come home, honey. I bought a new home.
No, sir. Right? You understand? It's our home. You better take it into account. Right? So don't tell God what you're going to do tomorrow. Yeah. Figure out our life. What are we going to do with it? Our career. You're going to change career without talking it over with your wife. Don't change career without talking it over with the Almighty. If there is a reality to God, that's the way to live.
I just want to take a little while for the negative aspect, right?
Look, outside of marriage, don't. It just drives you nuts. It's just a waste of time. It's for completion. So don't do it. It's for love. You see, a guy knows you don't buy a woman, right? So you fall in love for the night, and tomorrow you're out of love again. You fell out of love. Yeah. You deceive yourself in love. You deceive yourself in the reality. You'll never be able to achieve the reality. If you're living with hallucinations, illusions, then you're losing it. So don't. Don't have sex outside of marriage. Number two is, in Judaism we say, worse than having sex outside of marriage is pornography. Don't titillate yourself. Don't dream about it. That goes on and on. It robs you anytime, any place, anywhere. Yeah? Dreaming. That's terrible. In Judaism we say worse. It's destructive. It damages your head. Using your head to dream, if I had a girl, if blah, 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 looking at them. That's terrible. In Judaism we say that's the worst. Number three is that in order to avoid this, don't rationalize. I remember the time when Playboy hit the newsstands, you know, so they hired the greatest writers of that time. You know why they hired the best writers of that time? Huh? Excuse! In my days, a guy would blush. I mean, those magazines were... He would blush, walk over to the newsstand and say, I want a girl... He couldn't do it. So the guy would say, I want to read this article by Hemingway. You know, what magazine was it in? Yeah? Yeah, that magazine, right? He didn't have to name Playboy. You get it? Don't rationalize. That's worse. That's living an illusion, an hallucination. Don't kid yourself. Kid the whole world. Don't kid yourself. So the same thing goes with don't talk about platonic relationships. Come on. Fella says, when I dance with a woman, I don't feel a thing. You know what we say? See a doctor. Come on, you know, be real. Number four.
So what do? If you go on a diet, get rid of all the cookies. Is that right? All the candies, all the cake. Don't have it around the house, because if you're on a diet and you have these candies around the house, then what happens? You forget. Yeah. So in Judaism we say avoid. Avoid the places where you're going to stare. Yeah. Well, you can't always avoid them. Okay, but as much as you can, avoid it. You know where those places are, right? Number five is that in Judaism we say the best way of avoiding is keep your mind full. If you're in the middle of the last inning in a baseball game, you don't even notice anybody walking by. You get it? You're up at bat, you have your eye on the ball. See, if you're in the middle of pursuing the meaning of existence, and what's the greatest pleasure in life, you don't have no problem. You keep your mind full. You don't have time for nonsense. It's only idle minds, though. The boys who are standing on the street corner, they're the ones who are eyeing the girls. You understand? When you have something to do, you don't have time. Something important? Nonsense is nonsense. No distraction whatsoever. So keep your mind full. How do you keep your mind full? One of the 48 ways is constant study. Have something that you have something, an interest in. Have a puzzle in your mind. The meaning of existence. Know yourself. What did you do yesterday? How are you going to work tomorrow? What is the greatest pleasure in life? Something to study. When you're studying something that's fascinating to you, when you're in the middle of reading this novel that you're fascinated with, you don't know where you are, and you don't know who's walking by. Is that true? Okay, so keep your mind full. That's the best thing. Number six is, in Judaism we say the way of negative, of avoiding it, is understand the counterproductivity. Understand that what you're doing is looking at ice cream and drooling. Oh, wouldn't that taste good? No, wouldn't that taste good? I mean, if you see yourself, how ridiculous it is to drool, to dream, then don't do it. Ridiculous is ridiculous. So when you understand that this is a body desire that is making a fool out of you, making you waste your time, making you have a stomach ache for no constructive purpose, cut it out. That's the Jewish concept, yeah? But take it a step further, you're going to always contrast the one that you marry. She will never be the one woman in your life. All these figures, all these go through your head, all these charms, all this is what you're going to always compare the one you're going to marry. And it's going to be tougher and tougher to get married because she's lacking this, she's lacking that, she's lacking this, she's lacking that. Yeah? It's just harming your relations for the whole future. Just one more, number seven in Judaism, we say, no problem. Just get a sense of purpose, know what you're living for, get a drive, get the joy of existence. No problem. No problem. You got somewhere to go. You'll get there. And you will not be distracted along the way. Okay, Roman numeral 3 is the positive negative. The positive negative is the discipline of being in control. So the first thing is, today you have no problem. Just pull your eyes away. That's the discipline. Being in control. You living for sex? Or is sex something you do for a living? Yeah? Don't let it control you. Pull it away. You're the master. Then you'll be able to live properly in relationship to sex when you're the master. Right? And number two is, in Judaism we say, even in the sexual act, a human being's got to realize his responsibilities to his wife, to his God, to himself. That takes a little more training, a little more thinking, a little more understanding. But that heightens sex rather than the other way around. Doesn't distract you. It heightens it. Okay, now why? Why do we need this? So the positive is simple. Sex is the strongest material drive a human being has. It sells movies. It sells cigarettes. Rather than buying a car that's no good because there was a model in the ad, right? Get it working for you. Harness it. It's a powerful, powerful drive. Gets the totality of your effort into living. Number two is that until you get married, and essentially we look at a human being as being a narcissistic self-worshipper. Yeah, you can be kind to people, etc., but you're locked in. When you're married, you're zipped out into a we concept. That's, you're beginning to be civilized. Number three is that a man-woman relationship
is the only way to understand what living is about. Shir Ashirim Asher Shlomo, the Song of Songs. Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. That's what living is really about. The oneness of man, the oneness of humanity, the oneness of God and humanity, the purpose of living. And it's the ascetic experience all the way through. You've got to learn how to master it. It's the power and the essence. Roman numeral 2 of the Y, the negative, so because it's so powerful, it can make monkeys out of us. There are novels written about great men who became donkeys because of an infatuation, right? Watch out. It can do it. It can do it. It can wreck your family, wreck the woman that you love because you got infatuated with someone else. Yeah? In fact, I must be out of love with you. You know, just married 20 years or 10 years. I'm out of love with you. I fell in love with this pretty face, with this sweet being. Yeah? But only that could make us betray our children, our family. I mean, do you see that? Dangerous. Because it's this powerful urge. It's very dangerous. You've got to be in control of it. Yeah. But in Judaism, we say, in Jewish consciousness, we say that number 2 is that any sex for its own sake makes a donkey out of you. Every human being knows it's dirty when you pay for it, right? So when you pay money, it's a dirty thing. It's degrading. Degrading for the woman, degrading for you, right? What does it mean, degrading? You've taken something that has to have a spiritual part, a bond of eternity, and you've turned it into an animal desire. It's got a spiritual impact, yeah? Bite that bullet. Bite that bullet. It's got a spiritual part. We know it's reserved for God, for eternity, for a wife, with love, forever. Bite that bullet. And you realize Jewish consciousness is nix, no, elsewhere. Degrades your sensitivities. Number 3 is that in Judaism, the Medrash says that a human being is like a trained cat. You know what a trained cat? The story is told in the Medrash like this, that a man, once they used to have kings, they used to vie for the king's attention, right? So each one would do a trick greater than the other. So one guy finally did a tremendous feat. He trained a cat to walk in livery with a tray, with birds and, you know, stuffed birds on the tray. You understand? He trained the cat. The cat is very difficult to train, right? And he got it. The cat worked in on his hind legs and delivered the tray to the king and walked back. Yeah? Fantabulous. The king was in ecstasy. Such an accomplishment. Fantastic. So he turned to the arch rival of this master trainer and he said, "Can you find any flaw in this cat's training?" That was the arch rival's opportunity. A flaw? No problem. The next time the cat is in there with the stuffed pheasant and the tidbits, and, you know, carrying it without touching a thing and walking up, he takes a little mouse and lets it in. Squeak! Down goes the tray, out comes the claws, and the cat is chasing the mouse. We talk about God, about the meaning of existence, and what are we living for, and a little mouse walks by. Right? Out goes God, out goes meaning. That's what a man is. Yeah? And therefore we say, don't flaunt, you know, don't walk sneers. Sneers means modest dress. Don't make people into cats chasing mice. Okay. At any rate, the number 4 is that I wanted to remind you what I started with. If you want that love and that power of marrying the only woman in the world, she will be the only woman for you. Got to go into that training now. If you're not in that training now, then if it's for you, a light, a desire here and a desire there, it will never be the full experience at any time. You can't turn it on and off. You see? There's got to be that full one today. You got to work at it. All right, Roman numeral 3 is the positive negative, that in every positive negative, pulling back makes it more real. You have to be disciplined to really, if it's food, a gourmet, and certainly if it's sex. Sex is so overwhelming that you got to pull back. Yeah?
to really appreciate what it's about. You've got to be on top of it to really know what it's about. So you've got to pull back.
Now, I just want to say one more thing. And I don't know whether you hear it, but believe me, I'm a friend, etc. Yeah, but it's something that I should tell you. This is Torah. Any woman that you've slept with has her arms around your neck for infinity, for eternity. That's a Torah concept. Sex is forever. She's got her arms around your neck, Bruce. If you stay for 6 months, we'll give you some clues of how to unglue those arms. I thank you very much.